हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 75. The Lord continued, My dear friend, he who gives a person his physical birth is his first spiritual master, and he who initiates him as twice born Brahmana and engages him in religious duties is indeed more directly his spiritual master. But the person who bestows transcendental knowledge upon the members of all the spiritual orders of society is one's ultimate spiritual master. Indeed, he is as good as my own self. Certainly, O Brahmana, of all the followers of the Varnashram system, those who take advantage of the words I speak in my form as the spiritual master and thus easily cross over the ocean of material existence best understand their own true welfare. I, the soul of all beings, am not as satisfied by ritual worship, brahminical initiation, penances, or self-discipline as I am by faithful service rendered to one's spiritual master. Yes, because we're following the rules. Let's say the Vedic rules are there. Now, someone who follows those, then that's good. Krishna appreciates that. But someone who follows that because that's the instruction of the spiritual master, that's better. You understand? We're following because it's a ritual, because the rituals then give results. So then here it's about we're doing it because that's the order of the spiritual master. Does that make sense? We see there's a difference here. So we see here is we have these different levels. We have the father as the first spiritual master, right? Then you have the initiating guru. Then you have one who gives you transcendental knowledge, right? So there's three levels. So that means any basically senior person is guru because they have some instruction, some way they can benefit you, right? Then those who engage you properly in how to perform the proper duties, proper religious duties, proper activities, and that's the next level above that. Does that make sense? Right? Then above that is the transcendental knowledge. So then if one has the spiritual, for ourselves, then you see is that the spiritual master is giving, he's giving, what is the rituals in that, and at the same time giving the transcendental knowledge. Right? So then those two, it's not that they can't be combined. But at the same time, it points out that you have another aspect there is where does that transcendental knowledge that the gurus are giving, where does that come from?
From Krishna.
From Krishna, but before we get to Krishna?
From Ishvara.
Okay, that if we're general parampara, but in the specific situation we're in?
Prabhupada.
From Prabhupada. So in other words, you have the Adi Guru, then you have the Siksha and Diksha Gurus, then you have the general, the preachers, the senior devotees. Right? So that's how it goes. So all the instruction that is there from that the Diksha and Siksha and others are giving is from Srila Prabhupada. That's the whole principle is there. And that comes from the Parampara, that comes from Krishna. So originally Krishna is the guru. But that's why you have to understand these levels. Otherwise, then it just stops at your guru and that's it. You don't care about everybody else. So you have to be able to see as this process continues. Like cause and effect, right? It keeps going. Yes?
Sometimes devotees have doubts. We chant elevated prayers daily by Narottam Das Thakur and Krishna Chakravarti Thakur. And then their meditation is general and specific.
Right.
But for us, as Krishna mentions here, there are different levels of guru.
Right.
So we have Pandaracharya, we have Diksha, we have Shiksha, but then the specific meditation not necessarily is there, because we don't know, you know, about spiritual side of the world.
Right.
So how can we relate to those prayers in connection to this?
The service attitude that's there, the surrender that's there. Because as Lord Chaitanya points out, is that all souls are servant of Krishna. So then we can see their surrender to Krishna, that commitment to their service, commitment to the spiritual master, you know, commitment to pleasing Krishna. That's what we can appreciate from there. Detail, that's another thing. You know, just like you, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's not that it has to be that it's exactly the same, we're going to do the same things. It's the principle there that them seeing as devotee, because that's as far as our surrender goes, is generic, that we're surrendering to Krishna. So therefore the generic aspect of their prayers is then what is used.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? It has specifics, but specifics are there so we appreciate it. Just like the Puranas give specifics that has already been stated in the Upanishads. Right? So the Upanishads has already explained the philosophy, but then we see practical example in the histories. So you know, that's what an example is for. Is to make it more specific so that we can relate to it. So in other words, they're saying prayers through a medium that we can relate to, but we may not be on that platform. But we can appreciate that surrender, and we want to try to develop that kind of surrender. Is that?
Yeah, recently one devotee expressed his anxiety to the spiritual master in a letter, saying that I got attached to a specific person, but then somehow I came to know that in the spiritual world this person it's not an eternal relationship. So as it is. And then the spiritual master said that it's not a problem, it's we have Guru Tattva and Guru in person. So in terms of tattva, it's all correct. But in person, it might change in there. The guidance you get in there through this parampara, it's not necessarily the same person that is here.
Yes, because it's all coming from Krishna. So in other words, all knowledge is coming from Krishna. Krishna is knowledge. And then that comes down through the parampara. So the spiritual master is representing Krishna. Right? And so the knowledge of Krishna, if that's being given in the proper way, then is as good as Krishna. So that's the whole principle that's going on. So then there's no problem. So, because you don't need the specific external relationship. Like say, husband and wife here, but in Braj Leela they won't be husband and wife. You know, but that doesn't matter. That doesn't mean that they won't have a friendly relationship or know each other and things like that. But it's just that changes, because when we say relationship here, we're talking about relationship based on the conditioning, and that conditioning will change because it'll go away. So we'll come to our natural, our constitutional. So what is the externals of the constitutional, that may be different from the externals of the conditional. But it doesn't mean that the relationship with Krishna and through the devotees, that changes at all. If someone has seen you to you here in the way of spiritual platform, they'll be seeing you to you there. So that doesn't need to change. Does that make sense? It may be it's friendship, but it still doesn't mean that within friends there's not senior friends. You know what I'm saying? The spiritual master will always be the spiritual master, but it'll be that of friendship. But it's that they're the senior of the two. Mm-hmm. Like Krishna, he has those who are senior, like Balaram, Balabhadra, Mandali Bhadra, and that group. They're always senior to Krishna. Like that. Then he has those who are equal, like, you know, Sridham, Sudham, like this. Then he has those who are junior. You know, I forget what their names are. And then you have those who are confidential, like Subal. So those kinds of, so friendship is there, but where it fits is another aspect. Does that make sense? So they don't have to worry. Is that continuation and training that will go on with that individual, with others that are connected like this. But the point is because you're connected, because you're within a particular family, anyone in the family could guide you. You know what I'm saying? Your father could say something, your father's sister could say something, your father's elder brother could say something, his uncle could say, so you're a part of the family, anybody can give instruction. But we know our connection to those instructions. That's the whole point. Is that okay? So you don't have to worry about these things. It means that these are aspects that are not, one doesn't have to be in anxiety about, because it will go on nicely. You don't have to worry.
Yeah. You're going to be speaking of he who initiates him as a voice from Brahman. So when he
Yes.
Yeah. So usually, when we see that when the upanayan takes place, then that is a particular guru who gives the upanayan.
Yeah. So then who's superior to that?
The one who gives transcendental knowledge.
Yes. So therefore, we're talking about the Pancharatrik guru who's giving you the knowledge.
So
of
the gurus are valid knowledge, that way one doesn't become invalid knowledge.
Means by going up, it's not that when one takes the brahminical initiation that now your father's not a guru anymore. And then when you get some superior knowledge of that, then he goes, and as you get, it just goes until it just gets back to Krishna. It's just you and Krishna.
No, because this has happened.
Oh, sorry. Should have said spoiler alert, right? Yeah. So they all remain; they're all in their place. But as you said, one who brings one into the which is higher, then that's always going to be more important. So then, for us, the Upanayanam and the Pancharatra go together. So we don't make so much of a distinction there. But if you're working within the general Varnashram, then there is a distinction there. So that means what the father gives, then who gives Upanayanam is better than that. Then who gives the Pancharatrik initiation is better than that. But who gives instructions in the Pancharatrik system is better than that. Now if any of these are the same, then it doesn't matter. But the point is there's a gradation in that. And then the Adiguru is then superior to that, because it's based on him that all comes. Now then you have the Sampradaya, who's leading that Sampradaya. It'll be Rupa Goswami. Mm-hmm. But where does that knowledge come from? That comes from Radharani, which comes from Krishna. So, it all goes back.
Mm-hmm. Imagine the system of guru, we just add more and more.
You just add more gurus.
You don't take out.
Yeah. But who is the Pancharatrik Diksha Guru? There'll only be one of those.
Yes.
But Siksha Guru, then it just goes on. Because anybody in the Parampara is a Siksha Guru. For us, we have a lineage of theirs, I think it's like 33, down to Prabhupada. But let's say some other lines, like the Nimbarkas and that, I think they're like, it's like 50 or 60. Because this, it's much more, less distance, like for us, than, from Vyasadeva down to Madhva, then, otherwise you fill that in, then you have a lot more people.
And they're still entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're still there. Right? And then that goes back to Narad Muni, who goes to Brahma. So Brahma, Narad Muni, okay, that's close. Most people will be in that. But then Narad Muni down to Vyas, that's 151 trillion years. We just keep the gap there. And then from that, then down to like this. So then it comes down. It's good. So it doesn't matter how many are there. It still works. Because generally, one thinks oneself to be the most junior, so everybody's superior, so it's not a problem for devotees. Right?
Well, Maharaj, can you say that in the The guru is the most influential on ourselves, like Diksha.
The guru is the most influential.
The guru is the most influential, Diksha or Diksha. Can we say that he can give instruction? It seems a little different from the general instruction given by Krishna, like specific.
As long as it's in line with what Prabhupada's given.
Yes.
But if that is, doesn't have a connection, then the system doesn't work.
Yes. Because sometimes Srila Prabhupada was giving different instruction to individuals.
Yes, but the principle will all be the same. That's why you have to see the principle. It's there. You know, it's just like, okay, I can't remember who the two devotees were. Oh, no, I think it was Guru Kripa and Pancha Devita. That both Maharajas, they were going to South India to preach. So then to Guru Kripa, he told him, when you go south, don't eat anything fried. Right? So just stick to the idlis and the rice and things like that. Don't get into anything fried. But Pancha Devita, he told him the opposite. You know, better to stick to, you know, pukka cooked things rather than the kacha. So in other words, one he told to eat kacha, one he told to eat pukka. Kacha here means not cooked in ghee, like that. Doesn't mean raw. Like that's a nice, just to make sure. Yeah, just to make sure. Yeah. So, now one would think, these are contradictory instructions. But the point was, is why are they going south? For the winter? Yeah, for preaching. Right? Yeah, it happened to be, you know, winter time, so they're going south to preach, right? You know, it's like that. Yeah. So then, preaching is the essential point here. So now, what's the difference? Why one is told to eat kacha, one is told to eat pukka? Because Pancha Devita, he'd been in India for years. You know, so he's one of the ones that eats the local food and eats the chilies and all that and like that. Yes. While Guru Kripa wasn't. Yes. He generally traveled in the world and then spent some time in India. Yes. So if he ate pukka food, he'd get sick. Yes. So then he won't preach.
Yes.
Right? Yes. And of the two, kacha carries karma, pukka doesn't, only consciousness. So therefore he told Pancha Devita to eat pukka food. Because generally when you go and people invite you to their houses, for Brahmins, they cook pukka. They don't cook kacha. It's a tradition nowadays that, you know, that, but back then, that they would follow that. You know, like that. So that would be the difference. Is that the essence is that you preach, and to preach you have to be healthy, and therefore one would be healthy in the environment so he can be more careful of the detail, therefore eat those things that aren't going to affect the you know, aren't going to be, have less an effect on you as the karma. While the other one is that better you eat kacha food and preach than to eat pukka food and not preach. So there, when you understand what's the principle at work here, then you see that it's not a contradiction. It's not a difference. So we'll take, just like I think it was with Tripurari Maharaj, that Prabhupada gave him a schedule, book distributing schedule, that he would go out all day. I think they would, you know, just to have a little fruit or something like that. So he didn't really eat during the day. But then when they came back in the evening, then they would have a total blowout, like, feast. Like that. And it worked for him, just because of the nature of him, how he worked and everything like that. He was very focused and all that. So to eat, to all these things would get distracting and all that. So for him, just get up, his sadhana, go out, book distribution all day, come back at night, eat like that. Then, you know, probably some reading and some chanting and some other things like that, and then go to bed. So it wouldn't affect him. So it worked best for his preaching. Then some other devotee came across the letter and wrote Prabhupada, oh, hey, should we do this for all of our, you know, all of our book distributors and that? And Prabhupada says, no, that was specific for him. That's not for you. You don't do this. Because then they would eat during the day and have the feast at night and not get up in the morning and not have that good sadhana. And therefore, when they went out, then they would be more or less focused and they'd have to eat more and they'd get more, you know, like that. So it was specifically just for Tripurari. I think Tripurari maybe who worked with him, who had the same nature. So it worked for that, but for others, no. Then they would do the regular, you know, the regular breakfast and everything else like that that everybody would do. You know, because to eat, do like that, it was, they were only taking fruit at breakfast. They weren't taking other things. So basically, they didn't eat grains the whole day. You know, if they got hungry, they ate some fruit. But then at night, then they took the grains. But then he had a nature, maybe he had more pitta constitution. He could do that, but everybody can't do that. Does that make sense? So it depends on the constitution, the nature, the situation, like that. That was there. Oh, you remember that one? Or? No? Okay. Does that make sense? So you have that Prabhupada gave different instructions for different devotees, but what was the point? Tripurari is going to preach. The other books and scriptures are going to preach. So whatever is best for them to preach, that's the thing. Whether it's Panchavita or Guru Kripa, whichever it is, they're going to preach. So that's the whole thing, is that preaching is the essence. You know? So that's the whole essence. Point is, with that, then there's no contradiction between any of the instructions. So you have to see is why there's a difference there. Because it's individually applied. Now, when we take the secondary as the main, then we miss the point and things get distracted or distorted. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Maharaj, please can you repeat which food carries karma and which carries consciousness? Pakka and kachapa.
Kacha carries karma and consciousness, while pakka carries only consciousness. But now, if you pay for kacha, it only carries consciousness also. It still carries consciousness, only consciousness. But, you know, you get less. In other words, by the payment, you get less. Because the point is they give you food for free, you got to pay. So you pay in karma, getting karma and consciousness. But you pay for it, then there's less to.
And between friends?
In between friends. You want to know if by going over to your friend's house, the first mouthful, you'll turn into a little pile of ash and everything. Yeah, so the main thing is before you sit down in the chair, put down a piece of tin foil. You know, but put the shiny side up, because that's the most reflective of the heat and all that. Yeah, so then it won't affect the seat. Yeah. Come sit down, put the money on the table first. No, you'll get them later. Right? So. Yeah. So in other words, you're trying to please the Vaishnavas, not trying to unload as much karma as possible.
Cause and effect.
Sorry?
Cause and effect.
Cause and effect, yes. Yeah. Cause and effect. Yeah, so the cause, one has a bad stomach, the effect, diarrhea. Yeah, we're all good. Okay. Oh, Brahmana, okay, so I, the soul of all beings, am not as satisfied by ritual worship, brahminical initiation, penances, or self-discipline, as I am by faithful service rendered to one spiritual master. So that service may include ritual worship, brahminical initiation, penances, and self-discipline, but it's because it's being done for the spiritual master. Now, a pious person then follows these things because this is what Shastra recommends. And so that's more pleasing than someone who doesn't, but it's not as pleasing as someone who has that faith in the spiritual master. Right, so in other words, of all ritualistic things, of all understanding that faith in the spiritual master, that's the thing that then gives the best result to Krishna. Does that make sense? So that's why that must be followed. So that it's a principle. That's why we respect parents, we respect teachers, we respect elders in the community, we respect the preachers, you know, the manners, anything like that that has something, we respect all that. Because if we don't, we lose it in one place, you'll actually lose it everywhere, because it's all connected. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say you have a bunch of people chained together, and you're connected also as one of them, but one of the people you don't like, so you push them over the edge. What's going to happen? Yeah, that's how it works. Oh, Brahmana, do you remember what service what happened to us while we were living with our spiritual master. Once our guru's wife sent us to fetch firewood, and after we entered the vast forest, O twice born one, an unseasonal storm arose, with fierce wind and rain and harsh thunder. Then, as the sun set, the forest was covered by darkness in every direction, and with all the flooding, we could not distinguish high land from low. Constantly besieged by the powerful wind and rain, we lost our way amidst the flooding waters. We simply held each other's hands, and in great distress, wandered aimlessly about the forest.
Why? Because it mentions Guru's wife.
Guru's wife.
Yeah, so is that in Vedic times it was a standard that the gurus were usually killed
first? Were the gurus generally married? Those who ran the schools and that, yeah, generally. You had the monastery ones, but generally they would be married.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Not that you couldn't have otherwise, but generally they'd be married.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you're living at the house and that, then there's a relationship there with the whole thing. So then, you know, they're doing things for the house and all that, because the wife takes care of the house. The husband takes care of the teaching, you know, and he takes care of the wife, but the wife then runs the different things, like what we were discussing before with Sudama Brahmana. Then he, you know, he's the facility is there, but management of the facility, that's done by the wife.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So therefore, then being grihasthas, then they create that facility. So now if they need firewood for doing the things in there, for doing the yajnas or doing the cooking and all that, the brahmacharis are the ones that get all these things. Because the point is, if it's just the Brahmin and his wife, they get it themselves, right? But if they have all these kids there, then you have to cook more, you have to do more, so then they take part in it. Right? But this is when you're living in their place. That doesn't mean that the guru, in our kind of situation, his wife then starts telling everybody what to do because they're disciples. No, that's not the business, because she's not specifically doing something for them. While the husband, the guru, is like that. He's respectful, he deals, but she's not in this position. Like that.
Some research scholars do that.
Sorry?
In India, some research scholars do that.
Do that, yeah, of course. They'll take advantage. And so, you know. But what to do? You know, one's respectful, and then, you know, if it's within the capacity one can do, and there's not a problem. But if it's not, then, or it's not your duty, then there's no obligation. They'll get bent out of shape, and they'll harass their husband to give you trouble, but, you know, that's life. The BBT purport states, Srila Sridhar Swami points out that the verb pari babrima may be understood to be the prefix pari with either the verb bri or brahm. In the case of Brahm, it indicates that Krishna and Sudama wandered all about. In the case of Bri, which means to carry, it indicates that the two young boys wandered about. They continued to carry the firewood they had secured for their spiritual master. So they went out to get, right? But then they continued to carry it because they couldn't get back. So in either way, whatever, it works. The Lord continued, our guru, Sandipani, understanding our predicament, set out after sunrise to search for us, his disciples, and found us in distress. Sandipani said, O my children, you have suffered so much for my sake. The body is most dear to every living creature, but you are so dedicated to me that you completely disregarded your own comfort. This indeed is the duty of all true disciples, to repay the debt to their spiritual master by offering him, with pure hearts, their wealth and even their very lives. You boys are the best of the twice born, and I am satisfied with you. May all your desires be fulfilled, and may the Vedic mantras you have learned never lose their meaning for you in this world or the next. Right, so these are very, very important benedictions, right? So that pleasing the spiritual master, then that is how everything becomes fulfilled, because all desires, now if you're dedicated to the spiritual master like that, that means then generally speaking, then the that principle of elevation and all these things like that, so then fulfilling all those desires is not a problem. Right? If you're trying to elevate yourself in consciousness, then fulfillment of the desires that are in connection with that are a natural thing. So they go together. So pleasing the spiritual, pleasing Krishna means all desires are fulfilled. How do you please Krishna? That's by pleasing the spiritual master. Right? Does that make sense? And so in that way, then Krishna will take care. All things will be taken care of. And all the Vedic mantras never lose a meaning for you, because otherwise you have an understanding, but if you lose the meaning, then you get distracted. If someone's situated nicely in the devotional service, you know, because of the meanings they understand, but if those become clouded, then they may become distracted. So then by them never being, then they're always situated nicely on that path. So we see is that this Vyavasayatmika Buddhi means that you're focused on the instruction of the spiritual master. That means then you're focused on devotional service, on Krishna, on Krishna's associates, like this. Everything follows that one thing. That's why Prabhupada made for the morning artik, then we sing a prayer to the spiritual master. But we don't sing it. We're not singing for the Mangal artik, you know, in a very nice way, the, you know, Prashad Seva prayers. Like that. You know. So we can understand what's the most important thing. Here. Yes. Yes.
Well, to understand, a spiritual master is not an ordinary person. He's representative of Krishna.
Yes.
But then sometimes we face a situation where, you know, there's conditioning. And then we see the conditioning. And then, you know, in our relationship with spiritual master, it's very difficult to digest the conditioning from both sides. Means we have our, and he has his own. And it's kind of obvious. So.
But that's all, I mean, that's there. We'll just, okay, and then there's something more. That's it. That's the point?
Yeah, that's the question. How okay. can we deal in dealing with that situation?
So that's why it's recommended that you see the nature. So therefore, you're going to match with somebody with which the conditioned natures are compatible. Because the spiritual instruction is the same. It's all, like, at least for us, it's all Prabhupada's instructions.
Right.
So it's actually, spiritually, it's not going to matter which of the spiritual masters you choose, because the quality of instruction will be the same. Realization might be different, but the instruction itself is the same.
Right.
So now it's a matter of, for your conditioning, how do they themselves live, how do they present the philosophy, does that work for you? So then you choose like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So then that reduces this problem. Because then, you know, if we have a conditioned nature and they have a similar conditioned nature, it doesn't bother us because it's what we do. You know what I'm saying? Let's say we like to go out, you know, for walks. If they go out for walks, then it matches. You know? That's the kind of thing. So that's the first thing. The other thing is you approach them as a spiritual master for the spiritual instruction, not for anything else. So if how they live their life and do different things, the instruction is still valid. You know what I'm saying? It just may be for a specific example that applies specifically to you in your situation, you might have to take advantage of another person's direction or example. But the point is still that connection, all that still is what's the important element. So that's respected because they've connected, they've done these things. And so many things will work for you, and then there's some things that don't. So the ones that don't, you take advantage of others. That's why a society is important. In other ages, then you didn't have to necessarily do that. You just had that connection with your guru. You may have only seen him once in your life, gotten instruction, and with that you could use it your whole life. Because any point connected to Krishna, then that you can take it and expand it to apply to all aspects of your life. It takes more qualification. But in this age, then that association is very, very important. So not just one person, but a whole Sankirtana. So then we see these different aspects of application, how they're going on and everything like that. That it works a lot better for us. So in this way, then you take you take advantage of these things. But you know, one's connected, one's connection is with one's guru, and then those things that you can take very comfortably there, you take, and what not, you take from wherever else. But the point is, it's still based on that principle of surrender to Krishna and do everything for Krishna that the spiritual master has given. But certain details may be more appreciated from others. But it doesn't change the position or relationship. Does that make sense? Yeah. And of the two, then better you surrender. That'll be easier.
Because look, we've noticed that many devotees, they receive diksha in a very immature kind of stage. And then they regret, they go into doubts, they go through, you know, different stages. And some survive.
But that's still a symptom of the immaturity. It's not that they become more mature, now they're lamenting. It's that they're still immature.
Yes.
Otherwise, they think, I have this connection. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Yes. He took diksha from Bipin Bihari Goswami. Yes. But for further instruction, Jagannath Das Babaji. Do we ever hear him lament about his spiritual master? He always talks. If he mentions him, you know, according to etiquette. Because he is the connection, he is what, like that, so it works. But instruction, you know, in other words, it's a bona fide diksha pranali, but not a siksha pranali. So you get the siksha from there. So in other words, any guru within the society is a bona fide connection. So whoever you took initiation from, it doesn't matter, it works, you're connected. Now, if you find that there's a limitation to the instruction or the practicality of it or things like that, then you take from those who you can get from. Because siksha gurus, there's no restriction on how many you have. As long as they're in line with the Adi Guru or with Prabhupada. Does that make sense?
I'm not sure whether I should go further or not.
As long as the, how you say, you follow the traditional point of, you know, that they give beforehand a disclaimer, the names are changed to protect the innocent. Yeah.
But there's that principle, is that some gurus, you know, it's a term, not necessarily a good one, but it's a jealous guru. Some people are like that, and then if you go for instruction to somebody else, these people get offended.
That's there. The point is that if you have two aspects to that. One is, have you learned what the spiritual master has to offer? Then if you've learned whatever he has to offer and there's more to learn that you have a capacity for, but he does not necessarily have the capacity to give, then taking that further instruction from someone else, then that's a natural course of action. But it doesn't mean that his position as guru is any less important. He's still your connection to Krishna. And these other gurus, these other siksha gurus, are only giving an assistance to your appreciation and following and applying that connection to Krishna through your guru. Does that make sense? In other words, they don't become senior. Right? They don't become senior. They just assist in that. And so that would be the natural thing. Now, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that goes on. So, but now if you have learned what you can there, and then others can give further, then you can learn from them. Like that. I mean, because technically, if it's something else, you take permission. But if that's not given, it doesn't really matter, as long as it actually is a spiritual thing. Now, if it means that, okay, you know, you have an ISKCON guru and they don't want you to take instruction from someone outside of ISKCON and all that, and so then you apply this, well, they're a jealous guru, so I can, you know, reject and this and that. That doesn't apply. That's not the way it works.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why there's a whole song. That's why there's preachers, because they come, they give instruction and all that. So it's, because otherwise, if the guru wants to be the exclusive one, then they should keep the disciples always with him. Then he can be the one that's taking care and there and judging and seeing and then, you know, doing like that. But otherwise, then as a movement, then it's natural they're going to be involved with others. They're the ones that are dealing. There's one thing. No. Does that make sense? Because if you want to deal on a material kind of platform, then who's maintaining all these disciples? Generally a temple president, or they're maintaining themselves, or, you know, who made them a devotee that the guru even came in contact. So unless the guru's the one that got them off the street, then some temple devotee or, you know, some other preacher or something like this. So that means the preacher came through, did a program like that. Some people joined from him, and he moves on, you know, in his traveling. Then they join that temple. Now they're cultivated and nourished by the temple devotees. Then they come to that platform of position. Then they take initiation from their guru and all that. So if you want to get down to nuts and bolts like that, then, you know, it starts getting, you know, it's hard to claim that supreme absolute dictatorial control, because so many others are involved. That's why it's Sankirtan. But the whole point is why are we doing this? We're all doing this to please Prabhupada, which is means to please the previous acharyas headed by Rupa Goswami, which means to please Lord Chaitanya, which is means we're pleasing Radha and Krishna. So that's what's going on. So then it all has to work. But if you find that it's a delicate point, don't bring it up. It was not a delicate point, then the tradition is that you would share that knowledge and then hear it spoken by the spiritual master. You've heard somebody from somebody else and you found it to be, you know, very good. You mention it to your spiritual master, I learned this, and then they'll explain it to you, how to use it for you. Or, you know, something comes up as a doubt, they'll explain how to correct that, like that. So it's just a matter of, you know, it's a process to please Krishna by coming together to do things to please Krishna. So there's no need to lament, because whoever the guru is, you're connected. Even if it's a guru who fell away, you're still connected. Like that. But the point is this, diksha it's the instructions that make it alive. So that continuation of instructions, that's what you want to do. Does that make sense? That's the important thing. So, therefore, the diksha has that connection. Then siksha then is what maintains that. So even if the guru fell away, then the point is that connection is being nourished by the other siksha gurus, the other Vaishnavas. Does that make sense? And then with time, somebody may become prominent, but the point is that still, the connection's still there. That's just how it works. This thing that you have to take reinitiation, and that's for neophyte devotees that see things on the material platform, so they can't. He's doing this. I can't have a connection. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, okay, let us say somebody gave you something. You know, a very nice thing, very practical. You use it in your life every day, and it works really well, and you really like it. Now let's say at some point in your life, then they're not friends with you anymore, or they may even be inimical. You still use the thing, because it works.
But it won't work for the ladies.
That's my point. Yeah, that's it. So, then that's the whole point, is that when there's more attachment, then the process starts to, you know, become distorted. So on the social platform, then these are very real things. So yes, you're going to deal like that. And as long as you don't make it obvious or she doesn't notice, then you can continue to use that. But if it's a matter of she notices, then you stop using it. You know, because that's the soul. But here on the spiritual platform, we're talking about the soul, so we don't have to consider like that. So it's just because they fell down or went away or this or that. That doesn't matter for the connection. The connection's made. There's a ritual. You've made that commitment to surrender to the instruction of the spiritual master. Are you not surrendered now? They fell away. So are you not surrendered? Are you not committed to the process? You are. So therefore, that's there. So what's missing? The siksha. So that's why it says diksha means siksha. So you're getting siksha, then who's prominent, you take diksha from them. That would be the general thing. But sometimes diksha guru is one thing, siksha guru is another. So that's not also an uncommon thing. Like that. So you see is that it's very common with you know, in the past, that there were two different people. But it doesn't have to be. So we see with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, then it becomes one person, so it makes it, you know, much more comfortable. And with Prabhupada, with us, then but if it's different, it doesn't matter. As long as it's in line with what Prabhupada's saying. You know what I'm saying? That's what works. If one has a connection somewhere else, then you're seeing that you're seeing it in relationship to your line. Does that make sense? Like, let's say you have someone from the Sri line. They're initiated into that, but they've come across Prabhupada's movement. They read his books and all that, but it won't in any way affect their relationship with their line. It's just that we can explain difficult things more simply or easier than their own line. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that, you know, in the future, the conclusions of all the sampradayas will be found in the Gaudiya line. It's much more clear. So it makes them like that. Does that make sense? But let's say even that they become interested in Braja Bhakti as opposed to Vaikuntha. But it still doesn't mean that they have to get an initiation in that line. They're already connected. Vaishnava initiation connects you to the spiritual world. You know, like Valadeva Vidyabhushan, he's initiated in the Madhva line, but it's not that now he's taking Siksha in the Gaudiya line, that now he has to take Diksha in the Gaudiya line. Does that make sense? Yeah, as long as it's a bona fide connection, there's a bona fide Vaishnava Parampara connection, then there's no problem. If it's an Apasampradaya or, you know, Sahaji or this or that, then that's the meaning of the word reinitiation. You took initiation from, let's say, a Radhakund Babaji, and they went through the process like we go through. So then when you come in contact like that, then you take reinitiation because you in other words, you redo the ritual because the connection wasn't actually made. But if the connection's made, you don't need to redo the ritual. So it's two different things. It applies one way, not the other. But then they say, oh, he fell down, he was never guru, he was never connected, he was never everything. That kind of stuff, that's not actually mature. Popular, but not mature.
Maharaj, is this a part of the disciple courses that everyone is supposed to?
Disciple courses.
What was
disciple course? Course. I'm not sure.
It should be. It is.
I don't know. Is this what I'm talking? Is that on the disciple course?
Not as broad, but they clear those points.
Okay, they deal with it, not as detailed.
Yeah.
But it can be the same detail if the facilitator is looking at the same thing.
Yeah, so it's just more detail. Yes, yes. It's just detail.
But they don't say reinitiation or not reinitiation. It's up to the individual. They don't say it's not bona fide.
Yeah, because it means you want to do it, you can, because it's going on. It's a practice. It's just like the cat in the basket. You know, it doesn't affect the yajna. But you can do it, but it's absolutely not necessary. But, you know, if you want to have a cat in a basket, you do it. You know, and if you're very specific about what cat you want in a basket, oh, we only have Persian cats in our basket. Like that. No, but in our line, we have Siamese cats in our basket. Like that. That's nothing. We use tabbies, you know, more colorful. Like that. So, yeah, it doesn't matter. It's one of those things that you can do it. It's not necessary. But if it makes you feel good, great. But then after 10 of them, you know, it's like in Italy, then they had that kind of snarky joke, you know, how you say, buy 9, get 1 free, you know, like that. Because they've gone through so many times, you know, like that. Yeah. So that's why it's not necessary. Because if it happens, you do it once, okay, great. But if it keeps on going, you're going to get affected by that. So therefore, since it's siksha, go on. It's much better. It's just like if you're there and you're commanding officer and you're on the battlefield, he gets shot, you just get a new commanding officer. You know, it just goes on. You still have your orders, you still move ahead, but it's not that there's a problem with it. You know what I'm saying? It means the orders still go on because it's coming from higher authority. Okay. Yes?
I'm always thinking in this regard, it's like kind of a cruel and selfish. Because they are just thinking about their own benefit, but still they are not thinking about following the Shiksha.
Yeah, because it takes, as Prabhu mentioned, that they're not very mature. So the point is if you're not mature, you think Diksha is the main thing. And if you're mature, you understand Siksha is the main thing. So that's the difference. So and if it's Diksha, then the bigger it is, the more elaborate it is. Like I remember seeing two gurus in one place, and so one had the Vyas Puja and the other one had to do a bigger Vyas Puja. Right? And so then they did much bigger, spent so much more. I mean, like, you know, for those days, a lot of money. You know, the guy was a good collector. He made lots of money. But still, he spent a lot of money. And then as soon as the guru had gone up to his room after the program, that devotee who had made the arrangements and spent the money, that started taking all the decorations down. You know, it kind of ruins the mood. You leave it, and then the next day you take it down. Because for the day, it maintains the mood, right? You know? Or if it's something like for the deities, the decoration, nice fall, you leave it for a couple of days as long as it lasts, you know, like that. But he took it down immediately because it was a thing. And so then the guru saw that. He said, next time, you have a very simple thing. You just go out, pick some leaves and flowers and all that. Don't buy any flowers from Calcutta. It says that you want to spend that much money, you give me the money. Because I'll spend it for Krishna, and I won't waste it. Because it just turned into this competition. Who's better? If we do a better ritual, we're better disciples, and our guru's better. So that kind of stuff you have to avoid. It may come up in neophytes, but you have to avoid that. So yes, it does come down. That's mentioned in Krishna Bhajanamrita. The disciple, because the guru is connected to me, therefore he's the best. You know, that's why we say he's the best, because he's connected to me. My conditioned nature is the most fabulous. My guru is connected to me. That makes him fabulous, because I'm fabulous, right? It's just by association it goes on. You know? Like that. So you want to avoid all that. So this is how traditionally they avoided that. So you inspire them to go on and this and that. Of course, it's a loss. You had the relationship. That's not there. That's not good. But it doesn't mean that you don't go on with all the other six gurus. And so that means as you come to Krishna consciousness and you develop six gurus, when you take initiation, you don't reject those six gurus like some not so mature people do. Then if something happens to the guru, now they have nobody. Well, the natural thing is you have so many six gurus, one becomes prominent, they become the Diksha guru. Then you have that Diksha guru and these six gurus, and it goes on. So if anything happens, then you still have everybody else. That's the natural form. And if you follow that, you don't have all these difficulties, and you don't have to have all these alternative philosophies to make people feel good because gurus fall down and, you know, like that.
I don't know if it's mentioned somewhere, but an example of Madhvacharya, is it disciple's responsibility if the guru is fallen, actually, if he can preach to him and bring him?
If he can, but if not, you get someone else who can, and if not, you know what to do. I say, c'est la vie. That's the way it'll be. But the point is yes, if you can say you do, just like with Brahma, the Kumaras went forward and said something. And but if not, then you go to someone who can say something.
Yes.
And if they can't do anything, then you leave it. Wait for a while and they'll be back. Is that okay? Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. Lord Krishna continued. We had many similar experiences while living in our spiritual master's home. Simply by the grace of the spiritual master, a person can fulfill life's purpose and attain eternal peace. The Brahmana said, what could I possibly have failed to achieve, O Lord of Lords? O Universal Teacher, since I was able to personally live with you, whose every desire is fulfilled at the home of our spiritual master. O Almighty Lord, your body comprises the absolute truth in the form of the Vedas and is thus the source of all auspicious goals of life. That you took up residence at the school of a spiritual master is simply one of your pastimes in which you play the role of a human being. Right? So here is that, yes, you know, living with or working under association with the spiritual master and following the instructions is the most important. So Sudama Vipra, he got the double benefit of living with the spiritual master, you know, with the original spiritual master.
Yeah.
You know, like that.
And being together.
Being together serving the spiritual master. So, you know, you don't get better than Sudama Brahman's situation, right? As far as, you know, guru-disciple situation. Right? Conclusion. If a man is sufficiently educated in student life under the guidance of a proper teacher, his life becomes successful in the future. Right? Because the point is this, Krishna being pleased, it will work. That's the whole point. Krishna's not pleased, works less. The Lord is not as satisfied by ritual worship, brahminical initiation, penances, or self-discipline as he is by faithful service rendered to one's spiritual master. Simply by the... So that doesn't mean you don't do these. It just means that you do these because of their connection with the spiritual master. Right? Simply by the grace of the spiritual master, a person can fulfill life's purpose and attain eternal peace. So life's purpose is to develop love for Krishna. That's life's purpose. And then in that, by following the instructions, he gives also how to maintain yourself in this world. So Prabhupada gave his Varnashram. That's what it's for. Varnashram's only purpose is to support the devotees in their pursuit of going back to Godhead. That's what it's for. You know, does that make sense? You know, like the father arranges for his kid to have a job or something, or gives him a house or a car. You know, it's just for him to do what he does. So that's what Varnashram is for. That's what the culture, the etiquette is for. But we do that because it supports following the instruction of the spiritual master to please Krishna. Therefore, we follow Varnashram because it pleases Krishna. But not that Varnashram pleases Krishna. It's that following it because the spiritual master has ordered it, that that's what pleases Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah?
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki Jai Nityai Gaurav ki.